Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another conversation about the Word of God and specifically about the book of Philippians. Four chapters long. We call it an epistle because it's a letter. Some of the letters in the Bible were letters to churches, like the book of Philippians. Some were letters to general population groups, like the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That was James. Some are letters to individuals, like a Timothy or to Titus. But this letter, a letter to a church started by the author of the epistle, and we've just been in it, Scott. It's been I mean, I don't know that we're making good progress. You know, we've had two episodes and we're at verse 6 of chapter 1, but what a rich book.
It is a great book. It's like an old friend that's encouraging, and so many times we can relate to the downside, but Paul lifts our spirit.
So you've preached through the book of Philippians a couple times in your ministry there at Rosedale. So in those times that you've gone through the book of Philippians, you know, how many messages approximately would cover the book of Philippians?
Because of the time, it's usually somewhere 4 or 5 sermons in chapter 1, 3 or 4 chapter 2. We're in our 5th sermon in chapter number 3. So probably about a 4-month, 5-month series in the book of Philippians, but each subsequent time that I do it, it goes deeper. You get more layers. It's the eternal Word of God.
The eternal Word of God. You know, and think about just that term, the eternal Word of God. Listeners, we will be delving into the principles of God's Word forever.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's an outstanding thought.
Yes.
So in Philippians 1, the Apostle Paul has just reiterated to the people at Philippi, hey, God is working in your life. I've been praying for you. That's important for people to pray for us. But much more important is the fact that God, I left you. God didn't leave you. I have limited access to you. God has unlimited access to you. And you can have a measure of confidence in me, but you can have full confidence in God. So he's really pointing them back to their source, being confident of this very thing, that he which began that good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Talk about performance-based Christianity. Mm-hmm. I believe in it.
Yeah, but God.
But God does it.
Yes,
God
right.
does the performing.
That's right.
So verse 7, even as it is meet, that's just an old English word, listeners, that means suitable or appropriate. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Well, that's you referenced this, I think, a podcast or two ago, Scott, just about the heart level connection
yes.
that Paul had made with these people.
There is no doubt Paul loved them. Just the wording and the phrases that he uses, even the next verse, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. I have you in my heart. One of the challenges, or at least the framing of introducing a player in the next chapter is, for I have no man who will naturally care for your state. Presuming, or at least Paul, the way he loved them and blessed them and cared for them. Chapter 4, how he almost quadruples down on my brethren, my dearly beloved, my joy, my crown. This is a church, this is a people that Paul loved very, very deeply.
You got to love the old English. I long after in the bowels of Jesus Christ. You know, it's just one of those words that just does not make me feel warm and fuzzy.
And we don't use that phrase much today.
We don't. It's interesting because what it means is I love you from with an inner, from the inside. We would say today, I love you with all of my heart.
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. Interestingly, The word literally means the spleen. So I love you with all of my spleen.
That's awesome.
Your next Hallmark Valentine's Day card.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to work out as well. Yeah. But the point is the same. The point is, Paul said, I love you with a sincere, deep inner love. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love... So there's no question about the love of God. We've seen that already. Mm-hmm. There's no question about my love for you, but I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So talk to me about that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Love, what kind of love and for whom?
I do like the progression here. The gold standard for our love obviously is God. God is love. It's not just a characteristic. It's part of his nature. It's who he is. God is love. And so Paul, who goes into that so many different ways, so many different times, but then now here we see basically Paul saying, I'm loving you with that same kind of love, that same unconditional, I love you with that love. Then he turns it and he says, now my prayer is that your love may abound more and more. It's almost a longer narration of be followers of me even as I follow Christ, the Christness that you see in me, the Christ-likeness. And one of those things is a love for people. And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It's a love that's governed by the parameters of the Bible. It's a love that is unconditional. It's a love that is willing to sacrifice, is willing to go to the prison of Philippi and be shackled and stripes laid on him and beaten and whether I live or die, that Christ might be magnified in my body. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul was willing to go through anything for them, and now with that example, trying to spark and encourage their love for each other.
And isn't it also interesting? Okay, so we're going to see this, listeners, in the next episode or perhaps the next couple episodes. The Apostle Paul had a real sense that I might die. You know, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I might die. And in that sense, you have to know he's thinking about what's really important, his relationship with God and others. So he said, hey, I love you, and I really want you to understand love. So I want you to make sure that you do what you do because you have a genuine love for Christ and that you have a genuine love for each other in knowledge. So the truth of God's word ought to feed our love.
Yes.
The truth and love are not mutually exclusive. Yeah. No, they are complementary. Yeah. Yeah. And then in all judgment. In other words, that you would be able to make right decisions and have proper discernment in the way that love is enacted and that love is expressed. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus was about to die, his last conversation with the people whom he loved was, listen, I love you, but I want you to love each other, your love. Now, there's no questioning my love, but your love, that you would love one another. And Paul's doing the same thing.
Yes. And the verse, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this. It's not by rules. It's not by regulations. It's by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love, that love for each other, loving each other the way Christ loved us.
So let's finish the sentence. So verse 9, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He said the same thing to the church at Thessalonica, you know, that you would increase more and more. Love is something we never arrive. Mm. We can always love more. We can always be more captured and enraptured by the love of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 10, that ye may approve. So this is all part of Paul's prayer. This is what he's praying. I'm praying for your love to be what it needs to be. I'm praying for your relationships to be right. I'm praying that you would approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Approving things that are excellent. Talk to us about that.
Proving things that are excellent. My problem isn't that I don't love God enough. My problem is I don't realize how much God loves me. And when I realize how much God loves me, that automatically sparks me to have a greater love for Him, a greater love for others. And that's what does change my life. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. And it's that motive, that heart's motive, that does prod us to prove, to discern,
to try. That's the point.
Yes.
I think it's only as we have a love mindset for God and others that we're going to discern, approve the things that are excellent. I think it's the same thought as Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You know, that what we'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We only discern the will of God effectively as our motive is to love God and others.
Yes, and it does shed light on, Master, what's the great commandment in the law? The first great commandment of the law is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The second is like unto it. The second is like unto the first: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But if we don't get those two things right, everything else falls to the ground. On these two things, loving God and loving others, those are the two great foundations that we can prove things by. Our motive being right, our ministry being motivated by the right thing.
And we all have a sense of wanting our lives to matter, wanting our day to be productive. So what a great lens by which to guide yourself day by day to say, I want to make sure that what I'm doing, the priorities that I have, the schedule I'm keeping falls in line with, is this helping me to love God and love people?
Amen.
That's the way by which to approve things that are excellent and to be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, because those speak to our heart motives. These are motivational things. Why? These answer the larger question of why. Why? Why am I serving? Even at my church, why am I working? Why am I sacrificing? Whatever the verb is in your life, why? And the great why is I'm doing this for God and others. There's the sincerity. There's the non-duplicity of motive. I'm sincere and without offense. Let that love for God and others be the sieve through which you pour every single activity of your life.
And the why is really the only thing that sustains the what. The why. Are we doing it for the right reason? Are we ministering for the right reason? Are we interacting for the right reason? That motive behind it, and you'll see it in the same chapter. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. They're doing the what? They're preaching Christ, but they're supposing to add affliction to his bonds. They're doing it for the wrong why. Their motive is corrupt, and eventually that will corrupt the what.
Yeah, and perhaps the greatest indictment of all, as Paul wrote the Corinthians, was to say, listen, you can do the most magnanimous deeds. You can make the most incredible sacrifices. But I'm just here to tell you, if you're not governed by a love for God and for others, it's nothing. You're just making a big sound, but you're not making any real difference.
And the verse that caps that, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these, I think I may have said the greatest of these is faith. I may have said the greatest of these is hope. If you don't have hope, the greatest of these is charity.
Mm. And that's a great place to leave us today. It's something upon which we really need to meditate and to draw in. It's the why questions that are the most probing questions in our life. So friends, I don't know what you've got on your agenda today. I'm sure you're busy. We all are. But can you just take a moment and ask the Lord to help you to settle that why question? Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for working in my life, for promising me that you're going to make me more and more like Jesus. And help me today to view every single person across my path as somebody for whom you died, somebody in whom I can invest, somebody ultimately whom you can love through you, through me. And so God bless you, my friends. I appreciate you joining us yet again today. We look forward to another conversation in the book of Philippians. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.